Let's pray. Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So hopefully you all had a chance to see the movie Leap sometime this week. It was okay. It wasn't that great. I liked the music a lot, and I liked the animation, but the plot was a little predictable, right? So the whole reason I picked Leap for this summer, for this series, was that it was playing at Scoville Park, you know, the movies in the park, last Friday. And so I had this whole idea that, oh, it'll be so fun, we'll go out there, watch the movie together as a family, maybe get some other church families to meet us there, and, you know, we'll have dinner together, and it'll be great community building, bringing us together and all of that. But then, the Sunday before the movie was playing, Asher broke his arm, and it was this whole hullabaloo. We had 5 doctor's appointments in 10 days, and it just kind of, you know, it really threw us for a loop. And then we didn't even end up going to Scoville Park to watch it, and I just watched it on Netflix by myself. So, not exactly how I had planned it all to go. And I kept feeling kind of like, ugh, this just gave me a curve for the week. And I couldn't see how this selection from Proverbs for today fit at all. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. And I kept thinking, my path has not been straight this week. It's been very loopy. But then I read the commentary on this passage from Rolf Jacobson. He's a professor of Old Testament at Luther Seminary. And his whole deal on the Proverbs is he calls it 80% advice. He says, you have to remember it's be student wisdom on life. It's stuff that works 80% of the time to make your life better. It's kind of like wash your hands and eat your fruits and vegetables. That's good advice, you know? That's gonna keep you healthy most of the time. But sometimes you're still gonna get sick, right? Even if you follow that advice really well, occasionally you'll still get sick. Or like brushing your teeth. That's good advice. But sometimes you could brush your teeth every day and even floss, and you might still get cavities. Some people are just more prone to them, you know? And I thought how important it is, this 20% concept to reading the Proverbs, or this, that it's 80%, because sometimes you'll be the 20% outcome, right? And Leap actually gave a good example of this. So, right, you know, the beginning scene, and I'll describe it for you if you didn't actually see the movie. The movie is about these 2 young orphans, Felicie, she dreams of being a ballet dancer, and Victor, he dreams of being an inventor, and they're in an orphanage somewhere outside of Paris. I'm not really sure. But their whole dream, they have to go to Paris to fulfill this dream, and the movie opens with the two of them in the middle of this great escape from their orphanage, right? Do you remember this? And they're like running across, oh, so they're sneaking out of their room together late at night, and they sneak past the orphanage like supervisor's room, and he hears them and comes out, and Victor's trying to tell his wonderful inventive plan that he made to Felicie as they're running away, and they're running across the roof, and he tells her when they get up to the roof, he said, it's okay, I made an invention for our escape, and I've really been studying chickens a lot, so I made an invention that I'm calling chicken wings, as they're like running across the top of the roof, and he pulls this little thing and these wings come out. Do you remember this? Yeah. And Felicie tells him, Victor, chickens don't fly, right? And he's, for some reason, he has a chicken too. It really wasn't a great movie. But he's got a chicken, and he tells the chicken, you don't fly? And then they kind of fall off the roof and sort of roll and tumble to the train, and then they make it to Paris, right? But I thought, if Victor came to you and said, what sort of animal should I fashion my flying invention after? And you told Victor, you should fashion your flying invention after a bird, you know, just find a bird and model it after that. That's pretty good advice, right? Unless the first bird he finds is a chicken, then it didn't really work in his case, right? And he ends up getting it in the end. But that pesky 20% can actually be dangerous when we assume that this good advice is always true for everyone in every case. When we think, for sure, if I brush my teeth, that will equal no cavities, right? Then what happens when you get a cavity? Then you look back and you think, well, I did something wrong. I didn't brush my teeth well enough. I didn't do it right. Or sometimes it has a lot more at stake. When we say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. When we think it is an if and then statement, what happens when life throws us a curve? It can be devastating, right? And it can compound the grief with guilt and blame. Like, I was thinking about this. So yesterday, my little brother would have celebrated his 30th birthday. And I was thinking about him. It was just 4 years ago, I was preaching. He was in my congregation while I was preaching to him on his first Father's Day with his newborn baby. And he died just a couple years ago. And when he did, some people in the family, in our family, had a hard time, because we had been taught to take the Bible literally. So some people in my family who were still there had this, but if I trusted God, if I acknowledged God, if in all my ways I leaned on God, then my path would be straight, right? And there was a lot of guilt going around, like maybe I didn't trust God enough. Maybe I didn't believe enough. Maybe I didn't pray enough. And many of you have walked this path too, right? You've lost a sibling or a parent or a child. And when that happens, it's not a straight path that you walk, right? And we have to remember that this is 80% advice. For those that experience the 20% results, they're not to blame. And it doesn't mean they did anything wrong. And in that case, again, it's not that the advice was wrong. Yes, like always brush your teeth and always trust in God, you know, and lean not on your own understanding. But it's not always going to meet the desired result. But then I was also thinking, there are some proverbs that are only good advice 20% of the time too. Like I was thinking, like, buy the summer pass to the pool is really good advice in Oak Park, unless your kid broke his arm, and then, like, don't take that advice because you can't go to the pool. So there are some times when you have to really contextualize it. You have to say, here's good advice, but is it the right advice for me in my context right now, given all the factors, right? So 80% of the time, this general principle is going to be right. But so here's an example. Verse 9 in that same passage in Proverbs 3, which I cut off of the pericope for the reading because I thought, oh, I'm not going to use this, but you could just read one more verse down. It's there. It says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your produce, and then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. So 80% of the time, that's a really good general principle to live with, giving and not grasping. That's good advice. But you can think of contextual times when, like, the prosperity gospel in the United States has used verses like this to say that if you give to your megachurch, then you will have a really full bank account, which is just not always true and can sometimes be counterproductive advice to people living in real poverty. Like, maybe that's good advice for all of us, but then you have to think in context. How much do we say you must follow this to get this desired result? If we assume it's good advice for 100% of the people in 100% of circumstances, it can cause harm. And I have to point this out. unfortunately, given the events of this week, but following the law is probably good advice most of the time. Please follow the law. But not when the laws are immoral. Like, there's still a time when that's not the advice to take. And, in case you didn't know, I'm not a politician. I'm not a policymaker. I'm sure I do not have a full or complete handle on the intricacies of the matter, and I am sure that immigration is really complicated and needs lots of debate. And I don't care which administration is to blame or anything like that, but the U.S. Attorney General invokes scripture to support the policy of separating children and parents at the border of our country, and I am a minister of the word, and I do have some training in reading the Bible, and I believe it's my obligation to comment and to let you know that Romans 13 doesn't mean that. Romans 13 is not upholding unjust or immoral laws in any way. In fact, when Paul says the authorities that exist have been established by God, he's actually undercutting authority because he's talking about the Emperor Nero, who thought he was God. So saying the authorities that are here were established by God is actually saying Nero's not God. And Romans 13 ends with, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And of course, that's not to mention all of the many, many biblical passages that say to extend hospitality to the strangers in your midst, to the alien, to the traveler, to children, to orphans, to widows. So, just going with the 80% and not looking contextually can be truly, really harmful. So let's be mindful of context whenever we're reading anything, especially scripture. And I'm going to close with one more example from Leap of how this is true, and actually brought it all together to my surprise. So you remember that orphanage supervisor from the movie and how he was chasing Felicia and Victor to keep him at the orphanage at the beginning of the film? Well, fast forward to the end of the film, and Felicia has like failed at becoming a ballet dancer, and she ends up back at the orphanage, right? And then it's like this parallel scene to the beginning. She's sneaking past, his name is Monsieur Luteau. Is that right? Luteau. And she's sneaking past his room again, right? And again, he hears her and comes out, and you think he's gonna chase her and like he did before and keep her. But instead, what he says was, this will be faster. And he drives her to Paris on his motorcycle. And while they're driving, he says, I didn't want you to leave because I take the safety of the children seriously. You know, he thought it was a good thing he was doing. 80% of the time, usually really good advice to take care of these kids given in his care in the orphanage and not let them escape. But he says, but you should always follow your heart and never give up, Felicie. This is where you belong, in Paris. It's more of a home than I could ever give you. He understood that Felicie was the 20% of the orphans, that he needed to look at the context about who she was in particular. The tried and true advice didn't work in this case. And he realized there's nothing wrong with that. And there's good news in that for all of us. When we read the Proverbs, when we look at our advice, let's take it into context. Use our big, beautiful brains and the heart that God has given us. In the name of the Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit, amen.